This last week we had an absolute catastrophe. We had AC put in our house, and they had to take the gas lines loose and to put the unit in, the A-frame for in the house, so we'd have air conditioning. It goes, there's a compressor outside, and then the pipes come in. And they had an A-frame. They had to take the propane lines loose to do that. And I was so busy. I had we had a little seminar going on here. And my friend was up. And I was cooking for like 4 or 5 days in a row. And anyway, I didn't have time to look at everything they were doing. I almost always do. But when they got finished, I asked the guy, one of the main guys doing the plumbing, I said, did you check for leaks? You know, because propane is extremely dangerous, lethal, murderous. Oh, don't worry about it. Everything's okay. I said, I have a bottle, a spray bottle in there to spray, you know, for leaks, to check for leaks. He said, don't need it. Well, he took off. They did, and we thought they did a pretty good job. The AC was working. But I was smelling things, but I thought it was from the residue of what was in the closet and everything. And I thought maybe some garbage was out there that didn't smell good. Anyway, the first night I woke up in the morning, all time sick in my stomach, and really hurting all over, and headache and everything. I said, boy, I don't know if this is worth it or not. That's all, putting all that odor from that, you know, area that had that gas in there. Anyway, we went on the next day. They sent another mine out the next day. He didn't find this leak. He didn't look for it because the air conditioner wasn't performing correctly. And he did a lot of work and everything except that they didn't check the gas lines because the other guy was supposed to check the gas lines. Anyway, Friday morning I woke up and I was very ill. I could hardly stand up. My legs were hurting and cramped so bad. My stomach all night long with diarrhea and nausea and headache and everything. And Alex came in and he said, Jim, I think there's a propane leak in there in that one room right behind this thing here. And I went in there and I shut everything off and I opened the door and I called my friend Bill that works for this company. And I told him, I said, Bill, we got a propane leak. And I said, I'm going to get my spray bottle. We'll get the spray bottle and spray down there. Just start going up everything and look. And I sprayed down at the bottom. And when I sprayed onto the fitting, it just blew. The fitting was wide open. They'd only started it to put it together. They had never finished doing it. And it was a compression fitting. And I turned it 2 or 3 turns before it ever met. My hair stood on end when I saw that, because I knew then that I shouldn't be dead. I should have been dead. This house should have blown up, and because I was cooking all the time. And so I shut everything off, I put the ill on it, and I called. And then Bill told me, you better call and look up online for, he said, you've got to have poisoning. You've got to have propane poisoning. I looked online, I had all of the symptoms of it. It was horrible. Anyway, so he came out that evening and went through. But the reason why I told you that is what we're talking about, the providence of God. I called the poison control center, the local paramedic, and the hospital, and I told them what happened. And they said, if there was that much propane in that house, it was putting between 30 and 120 gallons of propane loose in this house. You should be dead. They just said, how did you do that? And how about your wife? And I said, she's on oxygen. Well, that kept her from getting killed, but you were having some symptoms, I know. But she was on oxygen. If I'd have been on oxygen, because it's oxygen and deprivation. So the long-term effects of this, I don't know what they're going to be on my brain and my body. It brings in dementia and all kinds of stuff when this happens to you. So pray for that. But if you want to see an angel running out and holding the forces of evil back. This is it. And the unbelievable, when I woke up this morning, first thing I said, I can't believe I'm alive. I can't even imagine how horrible it would be with, I saw my friend's mobile home burn down here, and I saw he was nothing but ashes. And I could just imagine the fire in here from all of that propane, which should have gone off. Why didn't it go off? Why didn't it go ahead and kill me? I woke up on the toilet in there. I didn't know where I was. I may have been half out of my head or somewhat semi-unconscious, and I could hardly stand up because my legs are so drawn up. But I'm here. That's the providence of God. That is a miracle. I don't believe in laying on hands and miracles like that, but I'm going to tell you something. God can do some things, some amazing things. And He just did. All of my work for 50 years is still here. It didn't burn up. That was one thing that, you know, all of this has been gone, and not all of it has been copied. So God gave us another chance, and God watched over us. I guess I needed to do this lesson this morning, see. Somebody in the world needed this lesson somewhere. Now, we're talking about church history, but more than church history, we're talking about the evolution of thinking, of theological thinking. And I studied or taught about 190 classes or close to 200 on systematic theology. A systematic means a qualified, in-depth study of. And theology, that's the word in English, theology right there, but it comes from theos and logos. Theos and logos. Theos means God. Elohim in the Old Testament, there's a lot of names for God. El Elyon. Elohim is what we might call the infinite definition of God. It's talking about the triune God, the three powerful ones, basically. Elohim. So we have a systematic theology or theology. Theologos, the study of God. What is problem? Like on this wall over here, you that are here can look up there. There's Islam, there's Jehovah's Witness, and there's Mormonism, Catholicism, and everything else you can think of down there. Why do we have all of these different religious systems? Because they don't know who God is. So when you study theology, and when you study how God dealt with man from eternity past through time, then you can understand that it's not the God of Islam, it's not the God of the Jehovah's Witnesses, it's not the God of Mormonism, it's not the God of Catholicism, but it's the God of the Bible, the God of heaven. And the God of heaven is a different person than what we normally look at him through religious ideas. Mormonism. The idea of God in Mormonism is that Adam was God the Father. And he was the first God and the only God in which we have to do. That's Joseph Smith. The weird thing about Mormonism today is now there is a tremendous amount of evidence that Joseph Smith was nothing but a fraud. And they know that. They know all the golden scrolls and everything was a total fraud, and all of his theology was fraud. Fraudulent. He was a scam artist. But they still have services in the churches. And you ask them, why are you having services when you know the leadership knows, and they keep purporting this situation with Joseph Smith and the golden plates and the angel Moroni and all that kind of stuff. Why did they do that? Well, this is a real good, it's really good for the family. We're a good moral structure and everything like that. But what about God? They have displaced God with themselves. And it's very hard to deal with Mormons because how are you going to tell a Mormon that you're a sinner? I'm God. I'm God. I'm not a sinner. I'm God. I'm a God in embryo, and I'm going to have a whole universe to take care of myself one day, just like God the Father does, or Adam God. And Jesus is our older brother. Now, how are you going to get to heaven believing that stuff? Okay? How Jehovah's Witness? How many of you have Jehovah's Witness families? Me, everybody, just about. Jehovah Witnesses. The name Jehovah Witness is an absolute, what we might call a sham. Because they believe that Jesus is a created God and he's the archangel Michael. And that he really wasn't material, that he didn't really die on the cross as a person, that he was never resurrected. Well, that just does away with their salvation, doesn't it? Because the Bible says there's only one man between God and mankind, and that's the man Christ Jesus, which is also Jehovah the Old Testament. Jesus is Jehovah. We study about God, we study about these things. God in eternity past set down decrees. He put your name in the Lamb's Book of Life before you were ever created because of what we call omniscience. There's three attributes of God: omniscience, omnipresence, and omnipotent. He's all powerful, he's everywhere, and he knows all things. Now, if he didn't know all things, then he wouldn't be God, would he? This is a biblical definition of God. If he didn't know all things, then he wouldn't be God. I talked to pastors in the past, and I said, what about election, all that kind of stuff? Well, there's some things God didn't want to know. They've just done away with God. If God didn't want to know something, that means he's not God. Isn't it? Is he omniscient? Is he or is he not? Okay. Well, the Jehovah's Witnesses displaced God, and you have to work your way, and they displaced heaven too. There was only 144,000 of them going to heaven. The rest of them going to go into the millennium, into the kingdom age. They got all that mixed up too, because the people that are administrators in the kingdom age is Jewish people, real Jewish people, the Jewish people. When a person dies believing in the Lord Jesus Christ today, he goes into the third heaven with God now, not later. The Catholic Church, let's look at that for a moment. The Catholic Church has got God the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and God Mary, the Mother of God. They have four gods. Do they or do they not? Mary is immaculate. She's sinless. She was taken into heaven. She never died. These are the things that the Catholic Church teaches, but it was an evolution of that. When I put this chart here up there, we're going to find out when they began saint and image worship, when they began Mariolatry and all of this. It didn't begin from the Bible. It began from the Catholic bulls or the dogmas or the statements of the popes. And every one of those statements that they've ever done since Jesus Christ, actually the Catholic Church didn't begin until 325 A.D. That's when Constantine named his church the Church Catholic. But you have the priest. You have Mary. You have angels. You can't get to the Father. They have completely displaced the avenue, the door to heaven and the door to God with something else. Now, like you are coming here to Fish Lake Valley, and instead of Fish Lake Valley, you're going to heaven. Here we got Mormonism over here, and they said, this is the way to heaven. We got Catholicism, this is the way to heaven. We got Jehovah's Witnesses, this is the way to heaven. We got Islam, this is the way to heaven. We got all these people telling you this is the way to heaven, but the roads are going someplace else because they're not looking at the right heaven and they're not looking at the right God. Islam is one of the most dangerous. Well, Islam and Catholicism were the two most dangerous religions that ever hit the earth. Both of them killed people by the millions. Catholicism killed between 50 and 100 million Christians. Did you know that? Let me repeat that. Catholicism killed between 50 and 100 million Christians when they were in power. When John Calvin and Luther came up and the Anabaptists came up and they began to preach, they started to clip the wings of the Catholic Church from the 14 and 1500s. From that time onward, Catholicism's wings were somewhat clipped. when America was founded, you know that America was not founded with, or the colonies in America were not founded with freedom of religion. Did you know that? America had no freedom of religion. Every colony had a state church. See, Catholicism is church and state. Islam is church and state. When they came to America, they came to America from Germany. They came to America from England. Well, America, you know, English colonies here. We had all these English colonies, 13 English colonies. And one colony in Rhode Island had two spokesmen. One of them was Dr. John Clark, and the other one was Roger Williams. Dr. John Clark petitioned the King of England for 13 years to allow America to have one colony that had freedom of religion. Is this new to you guys? They petitioned the governor, King George, 13 years to allow America to have one colony that had freedom of religion, where people didn't have to have the taxes in the colonies went to the church. And a church, if you were in a certain colony, Pennsylvania, whatever it was, Maryland, whatever, you had a state church. You didn't have any services except for that church. If you did, you were fined, you were put in jail. This was the origin of America. We have the Constitution of the United States, we have the preamble of the Constitution of the United States, and then we have the Bill of Rights. The Bill of Rights were added on later. And guess what one of the Bill of Rights is? Freedom of religion. Freedom of speech, freedom to bear arms, freedom of religion. These are very, very important things in our country. Now, do you remember maybe when you went to school that the pilgrims took and they put people in stocks when they were being bad? And they took them out and they beat them. They would take them out and put them in a dunking chair. They put them in a chair and they dump them underneath on a big long pole and they dip them in the river, maybe icy river. And they dip them and hold them down. And they bring them up and they say, "Will you repent? Will you recant?" You know what they were asking them to repent, and why they had the dunking chairs? Because the Baptists dipped people, immersed them for baptism, because baptism, baptizo, means to immerse. It comes from the Latin mergio. I can go right back there in that lexicon there in 1766 and show you where the equivalent of baptizo is mergio in Latin, where we had our word immerse. And the Baptists wouldn't accept anybody else's baptism, and they immersed everybody that came to them. And so most of those people that were being dumped in the rivers and drowned in the rivers were Baptists. There was no freedom of religion in the colonies at that time. Even the Lutherans in Germany, there were no freedom of religion there. Luther founded that church there. There were Anabaptists there. We talked about the Minster Rebellion before, and in classes past, how some of his students went against him, and they blamed it on the Anabaptists. The Wiedertaufers is how you say it in German. Wiedertaufer. That means to baptize again. That's what it means, dippers. The word for the boogeyman in Germany was Wiedertaufer. If you don't behave, a little child, we're going to send you, the Wiedertaufers, the Baptists, are going to get you. You see all of these little things. This is the evolution of theology and thought into the whole world. But we've gone way back in time, but I'm just bringing you, how important is this? It's monumental. It's life and death. Eternal life or eternal death, that's how important it is. We have to understand that who God is and how he's dealt with mankind and how he's revealed himself to mankind. All the way from eternity past, when God created angels, there was a way that he revealed himself to the angelic forces. Remember, we talked about angels in the past and spirits. If you look over here, we have material, we have spiritual, and we have intellectual, don't we? Material, spiritual, and intellectual. Now, under over these spears, there are spirits. And Larry, do you remember what a spirit is? A spirit? Or Marilyn?
Yeah.
What's spirit? It is an unclothed entity that has thought and soul that is eternal once it's been created, but it has no, it is not clothed with a form. So spirits are unclothed. Now let's look at angels. Angels are what?
Clothed.
They have form. Mm-hmm. They are clothed. But spirits seek to dwell in what?
Animal
or human flesh?
Mm-hmm.
Animal or human flesh. We have guiding spirits. We have also deceiving spirits. And as Muhammad, with his idea of religion, he copied from Catholicism at that time. You have to realize they came up when the Catholic Church had become very powerful and was taken over. And the Catholic Church was persecuting Christians. And they took people to the rivers and they held a knife to their throat. Will you believe in the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit and the Holy Catholic Church? Or shall we slit your throat and let you roll down the river? Well, that's what we call forced conversion. Now, Muhammad, when he was there, supposedly in Mecca, he didn't believe in forced conversion. But when he went to Medina, he said, kill them. He declared war on the world. If they don't believe, they are infidels, kafar, and kill them or subject them. When America became a nation, the largest part of the American debt was paying for protection money against the Muslim pirates in the ships until Thomas Jefferson came along and he declared war against them. And there's when we have the Leathernecks. You hear a Leathernecks? That's the Marines. They sent the Leathernecks over there and they wore leather collars because the Muslim would try to cut their throats and cut their heads off with the swords. That's why they call them leathernecks. Is that new to you? Anyway, so he went and whipped them. That's the Barbary Wars, the Barbary Coast. Islam did like Catholicism did, but Islam has never been what we might call modified at all. It still conquered the world either by deceit or whatever. We're coming out of Afghanistan without taking our equipment. Billions of dollars worth of equipment we're leaving over there. High-tech equipment that they can use against us in another 9/11 plus, 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 plus. We left missionaries, workers in Afghanistan and took the soldiers out before we got all of this done. Insanity. Islam changes God altogether. He's an old ogre that is ready to crush. He created people to go to hell. He created and he loves for people to suffer in hell. That's the idea of the Allah of Islam. Except the Savior in Islam is not Jesus Christ. It's Muhammad. It's Muhammad. Whether Muhammad existed or not, that's the story. Many people believe now, scholars and archaeologists and anthropologists believe that Muhammad, first of all, Muhammad wasn't born in Mecca. Mecca didn't exist at that time. If he was born at all, he was born in Jordan, in the area of what we know as Petra, which was a world center at that time. All the descriptions in the Quran and the Sunnahs and the Hadiths describe Mecca as something that it is not, never has been. When you go into Greece, when you go into any part of the Middle East and Asia Minor and Europe, when they get ready to build, like on a in Greece or whatever, they have to send archaeologists there and check it out. In Mecca, they don't have to send archaeologists because there was nothing there. There was nothing there. There was nothing there. They're building all over the place. There's nothing. If they dug, there would be nothing there. Simple as that. Let's go on a little bit further. I hope this is not boring you. Is this?
Very interesting. Very enlightening.
The angels. in eternity past had volition. God created everything with volition, and that means freedom of will. God, because he's omniscient and omnipresent and omnipotent, omni-all-powerful, and a lot of people say, well, why God does not allow all this stuff going on in the world today, like over there in the Middle East and everything? Who is the God of this age, by the way? Who's the God of this age? Satan. Now, Satan, or Lucifer, his name was Hillel in Hebrew, Lucere, Latin, Lucifer comes from the Latin Lucere, and Jerome translated the Latin Vulgate, and when he came to Hillel, he didn't say Hillel, he said Lucifer, because the word Lucere means to shine and light. The name Luke, Lucas, Lucy, Lucinda, Lucille, are all from the name Lucifer, okay? So if you got a girl and you call Lucy, you just call her Lucifer. But really, Lucifer was not a bad name. Lucifer was good when God created him, but he became evil. And in Ezekiel 28 and Isaiah 14, and we read that last week, didn't we, in the last message, how that he did this. But these three angels, the three archangels that we call archangels, Michael, Gabriel, and Lucifer. Lucifer was over the material realm. Michael is over the spiritual realm, and Gabriel is over the intellectual or the informational realm. Now, you go to seances and things like this at all, you know. Abraham Lincoln and Mary Todd Lincoln were big into seances. Did you know that? Into spiritism. And they had seances in the White House because he lost these children. And her brothers were being killed in the war and the Civil War and all this. Her family were all in the South and the North. And before we go any further, the Civil War was not over slavery whatsoever, period. When Abraham Lincoln wrote the Emancipation Proclamation, he said, this is only a war measure. Doesn't mean anything. Remember that. Then study about it. Go look at it and see what actually he did. Nothing. Because of all the lives that were taken and killed, he had to make an excuse for his murder and slaughter of 600 to 750,000 people. That's a lot of dead people. Angels. You have seances? If you get any answers in seances, it's going to come from Gabriel's fallen spirits and angels. If you see a demon, what you might call a demon, really with your eyes, it's going to be from Lucifer's realm, which is the material realm. You've got a guardian angel. I know we had guardian angels and spirits in this house this last week with all this propane in this house, which should have killed. It is a miracle that we aren't dead. That's all I can say. End of the spiritual realm. Now, are people inspired to do things? You think Einstein just figured out all the things he figured out of his own little old head? I think he was inspired of God. He had intellectual inspiration. Do you think that Muhammad, if he existed, if he didn't have some type of spiritual leader guiding him into all of these weird sociopathic ideas? Yeah. How about Joseph Smith? Brigham Young? Charles Taze Russell? All of these people. Mary Baker Eddy. I have all their books right there and what they taught. And every bit of it is absolutely diametrically opposed to the revealed will of God and God. Yeah, these happen. These things happen. And all down through the ages, we talked about when God created Adam, and then he took Eve from Adam. He took Isha from Ish. Isha means out of man. Ish means man. And then they sinned in the garden, and God gave them hope because he said that he was going to bring forth from the woman that there would be a Savior coming, Genesis 3:15. It would come through the womb of the woman, not the man. we see all of this. Man sinned. He ate of the tree of knowledge. They could have had any amount of... They could have had all the other trees of the garden. But Satan approached, Lucifer approached the woman through the snake, the Nahash. Say Nahash. Nahash. The Nahash. Now the Nahash, the Bible says in Genesis 3 and 1, that the serpent became, it doesn't say it was, because God didn't create evil. The serpent, when God created him, was not evil. But the serpent had a will, and he loaned his body. And by the way, you talk about the king of all the beasts? That was the serpent. He was the king of all the beasts. And animals communicate with mankind. You have dogs, Joni, you have dogs and cats maybe. Do they communicate with you? Do you communicate with them? Yeah. So I've had dogs that were smarter than some people that I know. Poncho and Peanut, the little horse, that's smarter than some people I know. I had a pig that was smarter than half the mechanics I tried to train. One time, Wilbur, my pig, went out there and she saw me unscrew a float in the in her pen. And she went over there and watched after me. She took my shoes off and took off with them, by the way, while I was doing that, playing. And then she goes over there. Right by the time I get out of there, she sticks her head underneath there, under the water, and unscrews that thing and takes it out and runs over there with it. Now look at me like that. Have you ever heard of Scott on the talk radio? He's kind of like Rush Limbaugh. I tried to teach him how to do Scott Cox. I tried to teach him how to do mechanics one time. And he came over there and I gave him some awl thread to cut in two. And I said, you're going to have to put a new blade in that hacksaw and cut that in two. Half an hour ago over there, he's still sawing on this thing. Sawing on this thing. Sawing on this thing. I said, God, what are you doing? How come you're taking so long? He said, this, it won't cut. And I said, let me see the hacksaw. He put the blade in backwards. Well, you got to pull on it then instead of push on it, you know. Well, one time he was having a shooting contest, a paintball contest at one of my friend's paintball deal, and I went in there and I saw Scott and I said, hey, hi Scott. He said, hi Jim. And then the guy that was there, Gary, that was running, you know, all the place like that, He talked to Scott later on. He said, you knew Jim Phillips? He said, oh, yeah, he tried to teach me how to be a mechanic. He said, it didn't work. That pig, if she saw me saw something with a hacksaw, she'd have done it right the first time. That's all I got to say. She'd have done it right the first time. Everything has volition. Everything has volition. Have you ever scolded a dog or a cat and you know, and they knew they were scolded? Huh? Yeah. Do you think they have a conscience? Just think about it for a while. Are they showing remorse? Are they showing what we might call guilty feelings?
Yes.
Come in there and your Twinkies are gone. Where's my Twinkies? And the dog goes over there like this. Yes, they communicate. God gave animals to man to be companions, and they communicated they were not food when God created them. They became food after the time of Noah, after the flood. We see all of this here. And in this spiritual realm, we have spirits that are unclothed beings. We have angels that are clothed beings. And we have them interfering with mankind, don't we? Do they? Do we have? Is everything going like the millennium today? What's going to happen in the millennium? After the church age, we're going to have the tribulation period, and God's going to clean house here in the world, and then Israel is going to be an administrator of the kingdom for 1,000 years, and there won't be any bad people that exist there. Nobody that's going to go into the millennium is going to be lost. They're all going to be saved, but there are going to be people born in the millennium. Now, the reason for the millennium is what? To show man without the devil that he's going to sin. And man without the devil sins, because we're deceitful in our hearts. We are lost. We are depraved. Okay? We are depraved. Now, Joni, you had a question. I'm not boring you, am I, Larry, with all of this? Okay. Here we have something that most people don't teach at all. John Calvin was a lawyer. He was a Catholic priest and Dominican range. He was never ordained. Luther was. Luther and Calvin were both lawyers. Luther wrote down, you see all those books up there that go from there all the way over there? That's the Institutes of Calvin up there. That's all his writings that he did. And Calvin was a lawyer, and he identified very carefully what Christianity ought to teach, according to his point of view. And that point of view was like this. Tulip. Tulip. Tulip is flower. One time in Denmark, that they just went in a tulip rage, and everybody, the stock market was around the tulip market. And all of a sudden, people had sold their farms and everything to invest in tulip bulbs, and they lost everything over tulips. But let's talk about a different tulip. Total hereditary depravity, unconditional election, limited atonement, irresistible grace, and preservation of the saints. Have you ever heard that term, Joni? At all?
Just in speaking to you.
Okay. Total hereditary depravity. How depraved is the human mind? We've seen a little bit about God. We're going to go back to that. But how depraved is the human mind? God said that mankind just wants to go the wrong way. Naturally. Huh? Only by the grace of God and only by the Holy Spirit of God can man come to God at all. But we have three views of Calvinism. We have superlapsarian, infralapsarian, and sublapsarianism. And those are great big terms. And they are theological terms. I just want to say this. Lapse in there comes from the word stone. All right? Or fall. Lapse. Stone or fall means the trip. Superlapsarian means before. Infralapsarian means during, and sublapsarian means after the fall. Okay? As simple as that. Now, let me read to you a little bit about this. The superlapsarian believe that God elected some to be saved and others to be reprobate before he ever created anything. Before the fall. And that he decided to create the reprobate and the elect or the believers before he ever decided to create mankind, because he had created angels. Well, did he? Did he create angels before he created man? Did he create angels before he ever created the heavens and the earth? Yes. So that's what they believe. Then he decided, number three, he decided to permit the fall. Now, this is a Reader's Digest synopsis of what this means, okay? Because I've done this for weeks at times. Maybe six or seven lessons just on each one of these points. And then he decided to procure salvation for the elect through the atonement. Atonement means that you have been made one with God again. And that number five, the last thing that he decided to do was to regenerate the elect by the irresistible work of the Holy Spirit. To regenerate the elect by the irresistible work of the Holy Spirit. Number two, the second point of view, okay? The infralapsarian, these what we call moderate Calvinists, believed that God decided to create man. Now, remember before, with superlapsarian, he decided to create the reprobate and the elect before he did anything else. Their first point is that he decided to create man. The second point is that he decided to permit the fall, allow mankind to fall, and allow the angels to fall. Number three, he decided to elect some to eternal life. To elect some to eternal life. Number four, to provide salvation for the elect through the atonement. Number five, to regenerate the elect by irresistible work of the Holy Spirit. So still we have irresistible grace. Number three, modern Calvinism. Their view there is that God decided to create man and angels and all of that. That God decided to permit the fall. That God decided to provide a ransom price for all. Did you see that? A ransom price for all. That's what we call unlimited atonement. That Jesus Christ died for all men. And 1 John 2 and 2 tells us that very, and many other things, other places. And then number four, to elect some to eternal life through faith. That they'll come to eternal life through faith. And number five, to convict the world of sin. Number six, to regenerate the elect by irresistible work of the Holy Spirit. Now let's go back to this little simple little tulip over here. Now we read a little bit about this. Now we could go on. Then we have on the other side, we have Arminianism. And Arminian believes that you're saved partially by grace and partially by your own works. Okay? There you have the Assembly of God and all this other thing that, that are Methodist. These people, they believe that works. You get saved from the original sin by baptism, baptismal regeneration, so to speak. And then from then on, it's up to you to keep on the road to heaven. That's what we call Arminianism. We got Calvinism, and we've got two different views of salvation, and basic theology is Calvinism, salvation by grace, and Arminianism, salvation by works. Okay? Two different beliefs. Total hereditary depravity. Now I am a modified sublapsarian. Okay? I believe that God decided to create man. He decided to permit the fall. He provided a ransom for all men equally. All men equally. That means that Jesus Christ didn't die for the elect only. And that God gave all men equal rights to salvation. That God gave all men equal rights to salvation. Could God get glory from anything that he created that was a robot, that it had to do what he created it, programmed it to do? Could he really get created? Could he really get? No. Total hereditary depravity. In other words, a modified sublarian believes that we're totally depraved, all right, but that, in that depravity, God gives us the ability to believe if we surrender our hearts to him. What makes you want to believe, or what makes you want to serve the Lord after you believe? Because you realize the great gift that God gave to you, you could never have worked for on your own, period. Not possible. Unconditional election. God looks at all men equally. Because we're all created, we're all Adam's children. All of us can believe because Jesus Christ died for all mankind. The blood is sufficient to save every man that was ever born on the earth. No man will ever go to hell because of sin. He will go to hell because he rejected his part in salvation. That's it. Total hereditary depravity. Unconditional election. It's unconditional how God, Jesus in the flesh, died on the cross of Calvary for all mankind. Number three, limited atonement. The infralapsarian, the supralapsarian, believe that Jesus Christ only died for the elect, that he did not die for all mankind. That he did not die for all men. But the Bible says in 1 John 2:2, and Calvin basically in one of his statements later in life, he, and I could read that to you, but I don't have it here in front of me. 1 John 2:2, as I try to find it. One says, my little children, I am writing these things to you that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, he has an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. Our righteousness is only in Christ. It's not in ourselves and not in our flesh. And he himself is a propitiation. That means the it's the helosmos or helosterion. It means that it's the mercy seat. In the Old Testament, as we look at some of this stuff we go on here, we're going to find out that they're the mercy seat, that they slayed this lamb and they took its blood and sprinkled on the mercy seat. And Jesus Christ is that mercy seat. He is our salvation. He's our covering, our kafar, our covering. He is our covering for our sins. And not only ours, but for the whole, not only ours, but for the, it says here, for the whole world. By this we know that we have come to know him if we keep his commandments or if we want to keep his commandments. That has a will in us. We have that will in us. After we've been saved, the Holy Spirit is in us. That makes us want to do God's will. Now, this I here is irresistible grace. Now, how many of you ever heard of Primitive Baptist? Well, they are very, very, what we might call honest, supralapsarians. Primitive Baptist will not spend one dime on evangelism or a missionary. You know why? Because they said, if there's a person out there that God has elected, that he's going to go to church. Nobody has to take him or invite him to church, but they are going to irresistibly be called to come to church. So why should you have to go after them if the Holy Spirit is going to drag them there? That's what they believe. Okay. And then preservation of the saints. Preservation of the saints means that once you've been saved, and in Ephesians 2:8 says, for in grace ye are having been saved through faith, and the faith didn't come out of you. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. The preservation of the saints simply means that once you have been saved, once you have believed in God, that you're his child from now on. Now, Larry, you had a mother and a father, didn't you?
Yeah.
They might have given you away. That's possible. A lot of people do that, don't they? They give their children away. But I'm going to tell you something. That father and that mother are still your mother and father. You can't nullify that. Mm-hmm. Even people try to do it with abortion, but it's still, that child will face them in eternity. Because that child, when it's conceived, is an individual of life forever. The Bible teaches that when a child is conceived, if it dies before it is born, if it's aborted or if it's miscarried, that it will be with God. Because the blood of Jesus Christ covers that one too. And since it doesn't have a time, a chance to believe or not to believe, it is covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. Preservation of the saints simply means that once you've been saved, you are saved, you're God's child forevermore. Forever. I hope you enjoyed this little lesson. Just a little bit. Father, we send this message out to you. Father, please use it for your honor, for your glory. And touch lives all over the world and build people up in your faith. I pray for Steve and Kathy Caldwell, which I made this message especially for also, that this will help them stand and...